This is Valley Edition. He's a familiar name and voice to many in the San Joaquin Valley, but you'll no longer see Bill McEwen's name in the Fresno Bee as editorial board editor. Earlier this month, the longtime reporter, columnist, and editor retired after 37 years with the Bee. He's not the only local name to walk away from the newspaper industry recently. The Bakersfield Californian's Lois Henry retired last week after 30 years with the paper. But while Henry has accepted a job representing local businesses through a nonprofit organization, McEwen is still in the news media, accepting a job with a news website run by Fresno-based housing developer Granville Homes, known as GVWire.com. Bill joins us now on Valley Edition. Bill, welcome.
Thanks for having me on today.
What's your new role going to be with GV Wire? This is a relatively new publication. What are you going to be doing there?
Well, so I've joined the team, and all together there will be four of us involved, and we will not be doing daily news stories. Our goal is to have an impact on public policy that will result in a better situation for people in the Valley and throughout the state of California. Video is a big part of what we do, and next week we're going to have a top-notch videographer join our team. In addition, I'll be writing a couple columns a week. We'll start posting editorials, and I think I'll be the person writing those editorials as well. So,
a couple of years ago, you almost left the paper to take a job with Jim Costa as his district director, but you backed out there. Was it tough to leave this time? It's certainly a challenging industry right now.
Well, it is a challenge. It was easier to make the decision this time. And part of that is just if you're putting out a newspaper, you also have a digital website. You know that your website is your future. And in a chain such as McClatchy's, there's tremendous pressure on everyone in the room to produce daily page views. And I didn't like the direction that we were going as far as the kind of stories that we were doing. For a long time, people say about television news, if it bleeds, it leads. And to me, the Bee was, you know, a lot of resources were being spent going after crime news that while it's interesting and people want to read about it, I mean, it's proven by the numbers, I don't think that it's going to have an impact on policy or on decision makers.
Now, before we go any further, I should disclose that Granville Homes, the publisher of GV Wire, is also a corporate sponsor of this station. In fact, this News Talk studio that we're broadcasting from was funded in part with their support. With, as you mentioned, the for-profit media business, it's not just newspapers, but media in general struggling. Why does Granville Homes want to get into the news business?
So I don't know that you could say we want to get into the news business, because at this juncture, it is a nonprofit endeavor. That doesn't close the door to the future to making it into a for-profit venture, but we're free really to chase the stories that we think are important to the community, and that's very appealing.
Now, you have a video that's out on Facebook talking about your role with the publication and what you're going to be doing. You start out in front of Fresno City Hall. Granville is a major player in Fresno development, also Fresno politics. Granville's Vice President Jeff Roberts is one of the most familiar faces you'll see at City Hall meetings almost every time, at least I'm there. How are you going to cover stories that inevitably have some intersection with public policy, but also what Granville Homes is doing?
So I think I stated it very clearly in my column. And obviously, when people heard that I was going to Granville, they started criticizing me and saying there's this huge conflict of interest. Darius Assemi and I had long conversations about this. And as I say in the column, when it comes to the news operation, the buck stops with me. My opinions in my columns will be my own. Darius Assemi writes columns. Obviously, those opinions will be his own. And then finally, the editorials. The situation will be no different than any newspaper in America or any website in America, in that the editorial is the institutional voice of the publication. And so that'll be GV Wire's view when you see the editorial.
Do you think there's an opportunity, not specifically with GV Wire, but looking at journalism overall and what's happening to the newspaper industry, and you have upstarts like GV Wire, also the Central Valley Observer, your former B reporter George Hostetter now writes there. It seems like there's disruption. Sometimes that can be a negative. And in fact, we've seen so many jobs eliminated. I think it would be hard to argue against that or argue that that's a positive. But do you think there's an opportunity here for a new journalism to emerge in some way?
Well, sure, because, you know, media is splintered and everybody's looking for their niche. And I call viewers, if you're going to a digital website, you're a viewer and a reader. And those people are making decisions every day about which websites they go, and they're looking for their niche. But, you know, you look at the serious journalism being done in California, and you look at Cal Matters, which is a nonprofit website, and Dan Walters went to work for them. Obviously, he knows as much about the legislature and the governor's office in California as anybody. So that's a good thing. And also with like Cal Matters, they can take the time. They're not worried about the daily story. They take the big view. They take the information from this accumulation of daily stories, and then they say, hey, where's California going? Or what are possible solutions to this? And once they identify the solutions, then they say, what are the roadblocks? And typically that gets you into the pig trough that is politics.
One of the laments that I've heard in talking not just about your departure, but just in general, and we've seen this with the Californian and other media organizations, even nationally to some degree with NPR a few years ago when they had national cutbacks in Washington, the loss of institutional memory. Is that something that worries you about the future of some of the more legacy media organizations that are out there? You had been with the paper 37 years. Lois Henry had been with the Californian 30 years, and we'd love to have her on our program to talk about this as well. But there's a lot of institutional memory of you know what the local politics is and was. Is that something that is at risk?
I don't know that it's at risk because there are always young reporters that come aboard and they do an excellent job and they're very talented and they'll take on that role. This continues over time. It's why we have archives. We have fantastic search engines in which we can look at anything that's ever been in a publication. So it's a matter of when you talk about the collective memory, is someone willing to really research that? And even though I'm at GV Wire, if there's anybody in the media that's doing a story and they want to know, quote unquote, where the bodies are buried or what happened, they can give me a call. And hopefully my memory is still sharp on that, but I can point them in the right direction. And Joe, you raised the name Lois Henry, and Lois, outstanding reporter and outstanding columnist, and knows as much about how water plays such a huge role in the valley as anybody. And I wish Lois well in her next endeavor as well.
Speaking of where the bodies are buried, I want to move on to some of the actual politics that's going on in our community right now. Is Brooke Ashton the dog who chased the car, caught the car, and now now is in a bit of a pickle himself? He was the staunchest opponent of Superintendent Michael Hansen, facilitated his departure from the district earlier this year. Now he is in his own hot water with his anti-LGBT comments that were in the B and other legal issues that have popped up. We hear he has political ambition beyond the school board, at least that's the scuttlebutt out there in the community. Did those dreams die this month, or in the era of Trump, is being uncouth a political virtue?
Well, Brooke, if you follow his Twitter feed, he admires President Trump. He likes that rough and tumble politics, and he has that, fighter mentality. I think that's one of, it can be a strength, because obviously you had to be strong to more or less depose Michael Hansen as superintendent. Michael Hansen was backed by the people that run this community and the leading political figures. And it seemed like no matter what was revealed about this lease-leaseback situation and how the superintendent royally screwed that up, people were going to stand by him. And then when you started to look at the numbers, because Superintendent Hansen had always said, well, I'm moving the district forward. Progress is not as fast as people would like, but remember, it was a mess. So it took me 4 or 5 years to get everything organized, to get the trains to run on time and that kind of thing. And then, you know, the numbers we've seen, the true numbers about academic performance that came out in the last 6 months or so showed that district had made no progress at all. So if you weren't a fighter like Brooke Ashton, Mike Hansen would still be superintendent. The flip side of that is he's not a statesman. And, you know, the irony in his comments, because he made such strong personal comments, almost totally overlooked is the fact that he said, hey, the law's the law, and I'll support the law. So,
and isn't that his argument?
Yeah, it's his argument, but no one's really talking about it. And the other thing is, I don't know where this came from that he has these political ambitions, because, and I've talked to him frequently, I've interviewed him frequently, he's never expressed that ambition. And in fact, he's expressed a lot of ambivalence about even taking this on. And I think basically he saw a problem. He's got a soft spot for children and for the underdog and people that face hard consequences. I mean, you know, the work he did with the Marjorie Mason Center was extraordinary, and a lot of people don't know about it. So I've seen Brooke basically cry at the drop of the hat. I know a lot of people wouldn't believe that, but he can be very emotional. I don't think he'll run for future office at all.
Does he fill out the rest of his term, if you were a betting person?
If I were a betting person, he's not. He would not announce it, because then he'd be a lame duck and he'd be seen as weak. So, you know, it's that warrior mentality again. We'll see what happens, you know, going into late next year.
Speaking of politicians who are on the aggressive side, at least recently, Councilmember Gary Bredefeld has really been in the news a lot with the number of initiatives that he has proposed. Of course, the In God We Trust initiative that wound up successful, in fact, is now on the back wall behind the dais at City Hall. His effort to allow city employees to carry guns, his effort to ban the cultivation of marijuana in the city, less successful. Has he eclipsed Steve Brandow in being the most aggressive conservative voice on the council? And has Brandow maybe eclipsed him as being a more effective voice, at least in terms of getting his policies in law?
Well, right now, Steve Brandow's a more effective council member because he has good relationships with other members of the council. And whatever Steve has done, even when he's been on the extreme, he's always kept the door open. He's an excellent communicator, and I've never doubted his sincerity about what he proposes. With Gary Bredefeld, I'm shocked. The B editorial board recommended him for election. A lot of that was based on his performance years ago when he was a city council member, and I don't recognize Gary Bredefeld today. I mean,
how has he changed?
Well, he used to be what I would call a Rockefeller Republican, in that, you know, very pro-business, but also compassionate. And I think about, you know, how he stood up for the people of his district when development was proposed that, you know, would have a lot of impacts. And he would describe his position very eloquently and say, hey, I'm all for business, I'm all for more jobs, I'm for hiring, but we have to include the neighborhood in the conversation, and we have to mitigate the impacts. And, you know, there's more to life than simply growing. This is the thing he used to say, it's about the quality of life that you grow. So I think about how he was for the downtown stadium and an important part of getting that stadium built, and really sticking with it through thick and thin and ultimately being successful. Today, he just looks like a talking points politician to me, anything to get attention. And I don't see, I don't see the rationale behind a lot of what he does. And in addition, if you represent District 6, which is the wealthiest part of Fresno, traditionally the person that represents 6 has taken a leadership role and, tried to bring sides together and trying to find ways to get solutions to pressing problems. You know, like, yes, we all want more parks, but how are we going to fund it? Yes, we want more police officers, but right now we're having a hard time retaining police officers and recruiting new ones. Where is the thought pattern on that? Instead, it's, we got to pass in God we trust, something that is symbolic, and that symbolism is important to a large part of the Fresno community, but at the same time, doesn't do anything to move the city forward. And I'm like the guy who says, what is it, Joe? In God we trust, all others pay cash.
Before we go, we've got a couple of minutes here. AB 1250, this is generating a lot of controversy. Before you left the Bee, you penned an editorial that was highly critical of this bill that would make it very difficult for counties to outsource different services with nonprofit organizations, whether it's health services or other types of social services. How do you see this playing out? This seems to be generating a lot of opposition, but it's already passed the assembly. You have local assembly members, including Joaquin Arambula, who supported it.
Well, Joaquin Arambula should be ashamed of that. And what that tells me is that the Democratic leaders in Sacramento basically told him, you can't be independent. If you be independent, if you do what's best for your region on something where we order you to vote yes, you're going to end up in the doghouse.
Sounds like a little different approach than his father.
Well, obviously. And I wrote the editorial that was in the Bee, and I called this one of the worst turkeys ever cooked up by the Democrats in Sacramento. And it would hurt nonprofits, not just in the Valley, but throughout California. And when you see the names of the respected nonprofits that are saying, this will close us down, everybody ought to be worried about it.
Bill McEwen is the new news director at GVWire.com. After 37 years with the Fresno Bee, he is now in that new role. You'll find your videos and editorials on the website. What do you have coming up, if you can just tell us briefly?
So,
what should we look for?
So, Joe, you asked me today about Brooke Ashton. I'll be interviewing him about an hour from now, and that'll be the basis of a column. In addition, I'll have a column later this week on an alternative to the homeless situation that's been very successful in Austin, Texas. And people in Fresno ought to be thinking about that instead of passing anti-camping ordinances. David Taub got inside the Trump Hotel in Washington, D.C., so we're going to give you a video tour of that, and we have some work to do to make that high-quality video, but we hope to have that up on Friday. You can see it throughout the weekend, and it's real simple. It's gvwire.com.
Bill McEwen, a news director at GVWire, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me today, Joe.